The biggest challenge that we seem to forget about is how viral your member experience has become. They're talking about you, whether it's good or bad, they're going to share that information.
Welcome to 22 Minutes in Lending, your go-to podcast for insights on all things lending. From lending practices, regulatory updates, how to enhance lending efforts, and more. In each episode, Vince Passione connects with industry leaders to discuss the latest trends and happenings around the lending industry. Let's dive into the latest in lending.
Welcome to 22 Minutes in Lending. I'm your host, Vince Passione. Today, I'm joined by Omar Jordan, founder and CEO of Covyance. Omar has over two decades of experience in the financial services industry and has built companies focused on improving the lending process for community banks and credit unions. His latest venture, Covyance, formerly LenderClose, is helping over 450 financial institutions modernize home equity lending through automation and data-driven solutions. Let's start by learning more about Omar's journey and what brought him here. Omar, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. You make me look good with that intro.
There you go.
My kids might disagree.
Awesome. Well, listen, I always like to hear the founder story in the beginning. So tell me all about Covyance. Like you launched national loan closing during the Great Recession.
Yeah.
So tough time to launch a new business.
Yeah.
What were you thinking of and why then?
It's funny. Yeah, I think I read a quote sometime, and I don't know if it was Warren Buffett or something investor. And they've always said, you know, when you see people running out, it's the best time to go in.
Yeah, run to the fire, right?
Right. And I just thought, boy, there was such a need around then because the recession would happen and, you know, title companies and what we called national signing services would close down due to volume and the staffing they had. I thought there's an opening there where we can come in and really be strategic partner for a lot of the national title brands. And then we did a lot of what we loan closings, facilitate the closing of real estate loans. And it was successful. We at some point, we were doing over 12,000 transactions a month, just helping national lenders close their loans nationally. That was a lot of fun.
What did you learn from your experience with national loan closings that helped shape what Covyance is today?
I love our number one focus, which is our customer, and just continue to solve problems differently for them. When I launched in 2005 or 2015, LenderClose, now Covyance, there was a gap in the market that we wanted to tackle. And I think for us, just focusing on the number one problem our customers face, which is growth, continues to be the case, and navigating compliance. But it's been a fun journey to be on.
So when you said the number one challenge they face is growth, but are you helping them also acquire customers, or you're just automating the origination process for them?
Well, no question. No question. Member acquisition, as credit unions would call it, and customer acquisition, as banks would call it, is a number one priority for our customers and therefore becomes ours. So the way we think about the lending experience, we sort of think about how do we have, and we have actual customers or members who actually brought on other members because they had such a pleasant home equity HELOC lending experience with our customer that happens to be a credit union. And they're like, check this out, right? And so if you provide this fintech-like experience for your members or prospective members, there's no question you're going to continue to grow that. People talk about their experiences. And that's the number one thing. And I think one of the challenges that credit unions face today, outside of liquidity and compliance and risk and fraud, the biggest challenge that we seem to forget about is how viral your member experience has become. They're talking about you, whether it's good or bad, they're going to share that information.
You said, we built Covyance to be resilient. Lending slows and rates rise, but that's when the operational efficiencies we bring become essential, not optional. So tell us what that kind of means in practice when you look at your business.
Well, from a business perspective, as far as Covyance goes, our technology is fluid in such a way that can allow a credit union to shift from maybe a home equity loan growth strategy to a refinance or purchase mortgage type strategy. So the resilience comes whether rates go up or down. And if you think about it, historically, interest rates go up. What happens? People don't refinance, don't stop buying homes. They start to invest in the current homes that they have. So home equity loan growth goes up. When interest rates go up, what also happens is credit card interest rates go up. Auto loans, interest rates go up. And so your credit card that was $10,000 that had a $300 payment on a monthly basis as a borrower or an individual now went to $400, $500, $600. So that allows you to, or forces you to think about how can I consolidate that debt? And so home equity loans becomes the number one and is the number one consumer requested loan product today. That said, demand goes up. What happens to credit union business? Their turnaround time goes from, 30 days, 45 days, 60 days. You have members exodus, you have fintechs coming into the space. And so efficiency is really not an option. And it doesn't just help you have a better ROI and a faster path to revenue and growth. But as I said, it's that member experience is so impactful to really the growth strategy for the credit union, any bank, any fintech. If you don't have a great member experience or onboarding or borrower experience, forget about it. You're irrelevant.
So let's go back to the product. Why don't you break it down? Where does it start? Because we talked about customer member acquisition, and where does it stop in the process for a typical credit union or bank that you're doing business with?
Yeah, love that question. To simplify, really, our engagement approach, Vince, is very consultative. So it starts with identifying and aligning with the credit unions on their key business objectives. What is it that you're trying to accomplish? Don't tell me what you want to do. Tell me what you want to accomplish. And from there, because we've done it so many times and beautifully with our customers and had a lot of success with some of the largest credit unions and the smallest credit unions, from there, we help design a process and, in some cases, really challenge their policy and rebuild the policies with the number one focus to significantly reduce friction and cycle time. And that being the number one focus helps us drive the number one, KPI for success, which is member experience.
I gotta imagine that the number one KPI is speed, isn't it?
No, it's beyond speed. It's confidence. It's member experience is beyond how fast do you move. It's how do you interact with your member? How much information are you giving them? Do they have to call you and inquire about what's the status of my loan? Those are 1995 problems that we're trying to solve with our customers. So being relevant isn't necessarily about speed. It's about trust and confidence and just the ability to respect the member's time too. And it's as simple as are you asking me to fax or email documents? And who does that? Who nobody has a scanner, right? And so what capabilities do you have as a credit union to make my life easy? If I want to apply for a HELOC or home equity loan, Vince, and I'm on their online application, that most of them have basically what most credit unions have done is taken their mortgage process, copied and pasted it into a HELOC and home equity loan process. And so if that loan application is going to take me a half hour, I'm done. For a HELOC loan, it should be what's your name, what's your address? Okay, great, here's your offers. It's that simple. So why are we complicating it? So speed isn't necessarily the number one factor. It's a comprehensive approach to what is the problem we're trying to solve.
When you look at Covance, are you more of a tech firm? Are you more financial firm? Are you a hybrid? Are you a tech-enabled services provider? How do you define Covance when you're talking to an investor?
Our focus is to provide the technology and the business outcome that our customers desire. And with that, there's a heavy focus on technology. So we're absolutely a tech firm first. We're a fintech, right? We've got about 68 employees, and most of them, or you think about it as split in half. Most of them are focused on product innovation, solutions, integration, implementation. And we've got the other half of the business, which is sales, marketing, and customer success. I think we're one of the few fintechs around that have a tremendous amount of investment made for post-transaction. So we onboard a customer, we bring them on. It's not sign and set it and forget it. No, it's a constantly consultative relationship approach where we are hand-holding them throughout the entire journey of their relationship.
So let's switch. Let's talk about the market landscape and some trends. So researching for the call, I took a look at this stat and it said, I think it was CoreLogic said that April housing starts hit about 1.36 million, which is up about 4.5% from last year. And I think some of that's multifamily. But also I thought the part that probably had a bigger impact on your business and the credit union's business is that most homeowners gained an average of about 28,000 in equity over that 12-month period. So that seems like a big lending opportunity. Is that driving, do you see that driving the business in 2025?
Yes and no. I think there's a massive opportunity. Our customers, or prospective customers, banks and credit unions specifically, are missing out on. And so I'll touch on that in a minute. But you're right. It's I think there's the average home buyer going into, or the average homeowner going into 2025 had about $313,000 worth of lendable equity. The challenge that these buyers have, or these homeowners have, is that there's $1.2 trillion in what we call unsecured debt. So typical, your credit card, revolving credit, that interest rate is a 22% revolving interest rate on a credit card. That's never going to get paid off, right? And so the easiest path for these borrowers, for these members or prospective member, is to do a debt consolidation loan via home equity. So the demand for home equity is on the rise. What we're seeing is that some of these homeowners are not choosing credit unions as their primary financial institution, a primary lender. They're going to fintechs to do a lot of these loans. Why? Because they have more flexible ways to interact with. They have better user experiences, and they're able to give them maybe a stronger or higher loan to value. That allows them to consolidate a lot of things rather than conservative credit unions. So the answer to your question is yes and no. I mean, we're seeing some credit unions, and I'm really doing a general brush here, a wide brush, but generally credit unions and community banks are slow to react. Their culture is more reactive than proactive. And so, but our mission is really to help our customers divorce the mindset that they are in the business of managing risk. And I want credit unions and community banks to start to think about we are in the financial intelligence business. And so what does that mean? That means we're no longer going to be transactional. We want to be relationship-based. We want to leverage advanced data analytics to really make decisions, put personalized offers. So that's what I want to see out of credit unions. The good news is there are fintechs and partners out there like Covance, like a lot that we know of, including LendKey, that are really great partners and want to help you do this. They can't do it alone. No one can.
Right.
You've got to figure out a way to partner with fintechs in order to move that needle forward.
What do you think of things like stablecoin? There's a lot of discussion, especially in the credit union space. Like I saw Nick Evans, right? He did a post on LinkedIn about stablecoin, right? Nick from Circle. There have been a couple of runs at this. Even the chairman of the NCUA seems to be interested in stablecoin. There's not a lot happening yet, but is that something that's on your radar when you think about technology and where you take Covance?
Potentially, if you think about what's the fastest way to disperse and fund a transaction, right? How do we move money faster once the loan is signed and then now it's time for funding? And because wires are expensive, right? And so how do you make a payoff transaction a lot faster so that you're not accruing interest on a daily basis? How do you get the borrower the money faster so that they can get the contractor, starting on the pool or pay off their debt a lot sooner? So there's a lot of ways that could be very, very helpful. And I think I've been kind of keeping an eye on that for quite some time, even before, I think when XRP was a thing, which was sort of like almost as stable as a dollar, but that changed later on in life. But that's going to be really fun to watch for. And I can see a lot of payment technology platforms really starting to adopt some of that so we can move a lot faster.
Hello, this is Margie Click, CEO and President of Agriculture Federal Credit Union. As a $360 million credit union, we're always looking for ways to innovate and expand our financial solution offerings to attract new members. That's why for nearly a decade, we have been partnering with Lenti to attract and acquire new credit union members.
Going back to just the general product, so, you know, there've been a couple of products out there, like Symmetry created this piggyback, or they popularized it. I'm not sure if they created it, this piggyback HELOC. There's hybrids now that people are talking about. Can you talk a little bit about just not the technology, but product innovation for the consumer in this space?
We have seen a lot, and you know, some I have a strong opinion on. It's, you know, I keep going back to, would I ever do that as a borrower? And some yes, some no. But there are some really cool innovation happening in the HELOC space. You've got companies that are coming out with a debit card or credit cards attached to that home equities. One of the number one problems that credit unions face post transaction is utilization, right, and money movement from the line of credit to their checking account, to the borrower's checking account. And so it's been kind of fun to see a lot of companies pop out. And some credit unions have done this, and I don't know if it's been successful or not, where they actually attach the HELOC. So you're at Home Depot, you're doing your deck, boom, swipe. Here's utilization, starts to go up. The other part of it, I've seen a lot of home equity HELOC programs with fintechs coming into the space that come in, you know, without you having to have a monthly payment per se. So an innovative product that just attaches a loan on a property, interest rates accumulates. And then some of them come in that's sort of like an unsecured debt type where they don't actually put a lien on a property. But when you sell your home, you own a certain percentage of the transaction. So, you know, I don't know what consumer demand is for a lot of that. I think your typical consumer is going to, just now early on in the process, is kind of like adopt the old way of transacting and understanding there's a second lien and things, but there's some borrowers out there that like to dabble as long as they understand the legal terms of XYZ. But it's fun to watch the interest in the market in this home equity HELOC space. And it's not going away anytime soon. As long as rates stay where they're at or maybe drop a little bit, there's still going to be that high demand for years to come.
No, I agree. I think the rate environment is going to drive a lot of basic product innovation to find ways to really help the consumer really use that home as an asset and use it correctly. Let's switch back to tech. So I can never get off these podcasts without talking about AI.
Yeah.
So you know, how do you view AI in your business, and how is it going to change Covance?
I think so. There's a lot of, well, it became a buzzword, and I feel like some of it is misused. And you know, it's AI should never be about, if you're looking to implement AI for efficiency reasons, more power to you. But it's not necessarily entirely about that. It should be about your level of confidence to be able to really understand the data that's coming back and the data that's being deployed out. And here I can maybe elaborate a little bit more on that. So to me, the emphasis is beyond efficiency. It's more strategic, and the value it brings to speeding up task isn't necessarily about speed or cutting cost. I feel like it's, like I said, the multiple is in sort of the confidence of it. So think about making better decisions, making faster decisions, more informed decisions with greater confidence. And from a lender perspective, you use AI to assess risk more accurately. And we've seen folks like Zest AI come into this space, you know, reduce uncertainty for loan approvals. From an underwriting perspective, you're looking at it for consistency. From an executive perspective, you're looking at it from an analytics, strategic, how do we move certain investments here to there? And if I'm a customer, I've got personalized offers in front of me by leveraging AI. So that's the multiple that we get out of the efficiency model for AI. So, you know, act faster, take smarter risks, and just trust the process to ultimately drive growth, innovation, and customer loyalty.
As you look ahead, what's next for Covance in 2025, 2026?
Yeah, well, growth is a number one thing for us, and we want to focus on how can we bring on as many customers as we can and provide the most amount of value for those customers. And historically, we don't have a churn problem. It's less than 1%. And so once we get in with our customers, and that's what I love about the industry. It's very relationship, and it's as long as you continue to provide value for your customers, there's not a lot of churn. So, cultivating relationship, building relationship, identifying problems for our customers, and helping them solve it is our focus. And so that's going to continue to drive our growth. And I think this year we're going to experience 30 to 40% year-over-year growth. Next year we project the same. And as I said, being EBITDA neutral and positive will continue to be a focus. In terms of innovation, we've got a lot of cool things happening behind the scenes. So more integrations happening, more product, more innovation, investments in AI, as I mentioned. It just continues to be a fun time, man. There's never a dull moment in here. And just it's fun to get up.
Yes, it is. And I being EBITDA positive makes it easy to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So, final thought, what's one trend in lending you think people are underestimating right now?
I think credit unions and community banks specifically, they are underestimating the amount of fintechs that are non-banks and non-credit unions that are coming into this space. And it really should freak you out. If you're an executive at a credit union, you should really start to pay attention to what's happening in that space and the amount of volume and customer engagement that's happening outside of that credit union. It's been happening, it's been talked about, but we're seeing it a lot more now, especially with private equity and venture capital really having a massive interest in lending. And so it comes down to a lot of things, but the number one thing to drive your organization forward, it's decisioning. It's just making a leadership decision to drive stage or change. And I think that's what you and I face every day. It's credit unions have a lot of problems, but the number one issue they'll continue to have is remaining relevant. And if you're not making those decisions to drive technology,
That's right.
you're going to be irrelevant.
No, I think the number is there's like 10,000 fintechs, and I think in last count there's probably like 4,700 credit unions, and not all of those fintechs are partners. Some of those,
Oh, yeah, competing fintech. Absolutely. Absolutely.
yeah. I'd add the other is understand the difference between someone who's your partner and someone who's your competitor, because you covered that earlier, right? How do you buy loans from someone that has a balance sheet that goes after your customer after you buy the loan? So, makes sense. Well, listen, Omar, that's great. That's all the time we have for today. So thank you so much for joining us. And I really do appreciate you sharing your insights both on the industry and about Covance. For our listeners, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode of 22 Minutes in Lending, and we will see you next time. Omar, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the 22 Minutes in Lending podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You'll find links to any resources mentioned in the show notes. If you're enjoying our show, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review.